Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat? Make it love.
Into the final hour drifting of our short broadcast week before a three-day weekend. Yes, only a three-day weekend because I will be behind this microphone at 7 o'clock Sunday morning to begin our pregame coverage of the Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers. Huge game for the Seahawks on the road in Charlotte. They want to keep their playoff hopes going. This would be a game that would be very important to that goal. So, 7 a.m., our pregame coverage, 10 o'clock kickoff here on your home, the Seahawks, 97.3, Cairo FM. Oh, man. Before I get to all the news stories here, the local stuff, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is in trouble. You see this?
Yes.
She, a couple of days ago, Sarah Michelle Gellar, who, by the way, is 41 years old.
Can you believe it? It makes me feel so old.
I asked you how old she was. You thought she was about your age.
Well, that is. I mean, it's a little bit older, but it's not that much older than me.
It's older.
It's just because it's a different starting digit.
Anyway, Sarah Michelle Gellar, a couple of days ago, she posted a photo of herself in lingerie.
She posted in, yes, she's in lingerie.
Yeah, she got on a bra and the frilly,
it's lingerie.
Frilly, lacy.
But it covers important parts.
Yeah, and then high stockings with a little garter belt thing.
Right.
Is that the right phrase?
Sure.
Okay. So she posted a picture and she's very thin.
She
looks
good.
Very trim
looks
and fit.
Very healthy.
Beautiful. So she posted it on Instagram with the caption, "I'm just going to pin these up all over my house as a reminder not to overeat on Thursday." So a bunch of pictures of her all skinny in lingerie. Well, immediately there was online backlash against Buffy the Vampire Slayer, saying that she was body shaming people who weigh more than her. A number of Instagram users accused her of contributing to a negative narrative on body image, as well as perpetuating the notion that indulgence is something to be consistently avoided. What's wrong with consistently avoiding indulgence? And if you want to indulge once in a while, you can. But if somebody wants to consistently avoid indulging, then...
It's just like having a pair of jeans that are your skinny jeans, not skinny jeans, but your skinny jeans, and working towards those skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't know. But
she's just shamed for it.
She just couldn't be.
She had
lovely.
To apologize, too. I would not apologize.
Yeah, she has apologized.
She shamed into apologizing.
She said it wasn't her intention to shame anyone. It's come to my attention that some people think I was fat shaming with this post. That could not be further from my intentions. She says, "I love Thanksgiving, and unfortunately, my eyes are often bigger than my stomach, and I tend to eat so much I make myself sick. This was a joking reminder to myself not to do that. I'm terribly sorry that people were offended by my attempt at humor. Anyone that knows me knows I would never intentionally shame anyone on any basis. I am a champion. Of all people."
And she did not say, "Here, take this photo of me and put it on your fridge." She didn't say that. She said, "I'm using this
just
photo."
So stupid.
And also, I'm looking at this photo right now for work purposes.
Yeah.
And
as you said lingerie, Sean's like, mm-hmm. Google.
Yeah. And so the optical illusion that I could not figure out for a while, it looks like she's missing her right arm. Because it doesn't.
It's bent behind her back.
No, it's not. It's not. Her shirt. Covering her arm. Do you see that now?
Oh, I thought it was bent behind her back.
That's what I thought, too.
I wasn't looking at her right arm.
Well, that's when I look at women in lingerie, I only look at their right arms.
Good for you, Sean.
But, yeah, so it looked like she's an amputee as well.
Well, no.
Well, no, it doesn't. No, she's just to got me, her it did. Arm in her sleeve.
It did.
Crying out loud. She just couldn't be lovelier, though. That's the bottom line. But social media backlash. So dumb. Let's see. But, oh, I got one other thing before I get to the local stuff this hour. So when I first got this radio talk show, I just couldn't have been a dumber guy. And I know you're saying, when you first got it? No, I mean, look, here's my deal. So I had started out working in sports, and I kind of thought that's what I wanted to do. And then I started to get really bored with sports, and my interest in the world was going far beyond sports. And I thought, well, it would just be much more interesting to do a news talk show instead of sports. Now, the challenge for me was, for a decade professionally, I'd been working in sports. And I tend to be rather monomaniacal about whatever I happen to be pursuing at any one time, whether it be, you know, sports or news or coaching or backgammon or whatever. I'm just very singular in my focus, and I kind of don't pay attention to other stuff. So I didn't, through my 20s, I didn't pay a lot of attention to news, certainly not international, geopolitical, geosocial, all of that stuff. And so, you know, if you've been listening to my show for any length of time, you've certainly heard an evolution, because a lot of my worldviews have evolved while I've been doing this show. But it was really interesting, because when I first got this radio show, 1995, spring of 1995, I'm just a kid. I'm 33 years old. I've never done a daily talk show before. And Cairo Radio, I mean, we're talking about one of the heritage, Clear Channel, 50,000 watt signals in the world. You know, one of the most important radio stations in the country. And they give me the noon to three slot. What? It was crazy. It couldn't possibly have been any crazier. So the format, when I first took, and it was also interesting, because at the time it was Jim French and then a guy named Lee Rogers, and they had the 9 to noon slot. Dave Ross was noon to 3. And the format on Cairo, when I took over, it was mostly news interviews. Every segment, they would interview a different newsmaker. And so I'm talking with them about getting my own show. And they asked me, what's your vision? And I'm a contrarian then and now. And I said, I am not going to do any interviews. I'm going to do, because nobody took calls on Cairo. Or it was rare. It was very rare that they took calls. And I said, I want to do 180 degrees what Cairo's done up till now. I'm not going to do any interviews. I'm going to set up a topic, and then I'm going to take calls from listeners, which was very successful format for many, many, many years for this show. And, you know, we've evolved and changed, and we'll probably evolve and change, you know, one or two more times before I'm done. But so then the challenge for me, and we would do one topic an hour back then. You know, we fly through 5 or 10 things an hour often now. But back then, one topic an hour. So the first segment was I would set up the topic. I would try to lay out two sides for it. And then I'd take phone calls. And I would argue with the people who disagreed and try to find interesting points to reinforce the people who agreed. Which was an incredible challenge, because it meant that I had, in my morning prep, I had to get to know every subject well enough so that I could, you know, go back and forth with people who disagreed with me. It was, you know, a fun challenge, and the way the show has evolved, it's even more fun. I'll talk about that at the end of the hour, because I can't believe, you know, that I love my job more 24 years later than I did when I first got it and was so excited to get it. The reason I bring all of this up, all of these memories came flooding back to me this morning because I read about this judge's ruling, and this was one of the first topics I ever did on this radio show almost 24 years ago. Now, understand, like I said, 1995, my wife and I had just had our third baby, three girls. So when I got this show, my three little girls were ages 5, 2, and 1. And I had heard about this barbaric practice that was being done in the name of religion to little girls. And like I said, I just wasn't worldly enough, I wasn't aware enough to have ever even heard of this. This female genital mutilation. But I tell you what, when you're a new dad to three little baby girls, and you hear that there are people in America, in the United States, where they are, you know, clipping the genitals on little girls so that they can never feel, experience sexual pleasure in their life because of a religious dictate. And I just remember thinking, my goodness, how barbaric can we be in this country if we're doing that to little girls? So this morning, as I read this judge's ruling back in Michigan, in the news today, in Detroit, where nine little girls had been barbarically mutilated by a doctor in the name of Allah. I mean, that's what female genital mutilation is. It is to deny these little girls from ever, as they grow up into women, from ever experiencing sexual pleasure of any kind. And I'm sure there are other reasons for it, but it is basically just a barbaric practice against girls. So a federal law was passed that banned female genital mutilation in the United States. And a judge in Detroit, and gosh, I hate to say this, because when I read the judge's ruling, I understand that legally he's correct on this. But morally, how can we not? Now, 27 states have passed laws. The judge essentially said that this is a state decision. It's not a federal decision, because when they passed the federal law, it was under the Commerce Clause. And it meant that the federal government can only ban things under the Commerce Clause that have to be of commercial or economic issue. And the judge wrote, as despicable as this practice may be, it is essentially a criminal assault, just like rape. And so the word of the law, I understand. But that means that we still have people in the United States of America, under the cloak of their religion, that are committing atrocities against little girls. And at least in Michigan, it would be tough to pass a state law because there is a huge, and let me be clear, while most Muslims do not endorse that, or certainly don't practice it, there's a huge Islamic community in Michigan, and it would be very problematic for them to pass a state law saying that we're going to tell you what you can and can't do under your faith. But the fact that that happens in the United States, and just my memory, I mean, it might have been my first or second week on the air when I first learned about female genital mutilation. I was so horrified because I was so ignorant before I would dive into stories like this way back when. And here we are 24 years later, and it's still happening to little girls in America. And a judge says there's nothing they can do about it unless the state government specifically bans it. And my God, we need to protect our girls from that. And please don't compare this to what they do to most little boys at birth, because I heard that whole comparison, and that is the depth of ignorance, anybody who thinks that those are comparable in any way. Okay, next, I got one local story I got to get to here. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
A listener sent me from the City of Seattle website a link. The city, and this was introduced by primary sponsor, Councilwoman Lisa Herbold. Oh, she's the grandma with the nose ring. Cool. Edgy. Lisa Herbold, she wants a $110,000 grant. This is in their green sheet for a legacy business designation program. So then you read what the funding's going to go to. And this is what a listener asked me. Is this legal in 2018, Dory? The program would prioritize the most vulnerable businesses, likely to be ethnic minority and immigrant owned, rather than providing benefits only to businesses which are already thriving and stable. And the person who sent me this link said, Dory, my family has owned a business in Seattle for 40 years. It was started by this person's parents. And they said, we're struggling as much as anybody right now. And we've been paying taxes in this city. We've been creating jobs for 40 years now. And the Seattle City Council specifically says, and if they state that, you know that they wouldn't give it to anybody, but the program would prioritize the most vulnerable businesses likely to be ethnic minority and immigrant owned. And they said, why wouldn't they just prioritize the most vulnerable businesses? Why wouldn't my business, started by my parents 40 years ago, why wouldn't we be as eligible as anyone else? That's liberalism for you. They get to choose who to support and who not to. It's not you look at everybody the same, you treat everybody the same, you give everybody the same consideration and the same respect. This is codified that they want to secure money just for certain businesses, depending on who owns them. Not by the content of their character. That's for dang sure. That's not the way things work in Seattle. So I will keep looking into this. I appreciate about four or five listeners brought this to my attention. We will keep looking into it. That is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Going to check the news for you and then count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio. Coming up next. Understand about this whole E. coli romaine lettuce thing.
What's that?
Okay, I know the clip you had from the attorney, Marler. Mm-hmm. Good guy. I've had him on the show mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. I know that he was really involved when there was that fast mm-hmm. food.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Jack in the Box.
I was trying to be nice for once in my life.
All you need to do is Google.
And I know that E. coli.
Jack in the Box has recovered, though.
Yes.
I mean, they've recovered well.
Yeah, they're doing fine. That crispy chicken sandwich of theirs, are you kidding me? So I know it's a serious issue, potentially. 32 people have been sick and 13 hospitalized, right? Those are the numbers?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And
so we're throwing out all of the romaine lettuce in the United States.
What a waste.
Because 32 people have gotten sick, 13 hospitalized.
I feel bad for the farmers.
Meanwhile.
They work hard on that stuff.
Well, no, they made their money.
Still.
But meanwhile.
Like they take pride.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, 443,000 people a year die connected to smoking. And we still sell the cigarettes. And every time I say that, I've got a libertarian who'd want to take my cigarette smoking rights away. It just shows the hypocrisy.
Wait. What? Hold it. With the smoking, there are warnings. There are warning labels at this point. So if you're choosing to smoke, when you eat romaine lettuce, you're not expecting to die.
Oh, I know. I know that. I'm just saying from a regulation standpoint, if there is something without warning labels, if I've mentioned before, a toaster manufacturer, and if they have three accidental fires, they recall them all. You got to get rid of all of them. You have romaine, 13 people go to the hospital, and you throw out all the romaine. But a product that kills 443,000 people a year remains legal. And why? Because they're addicted to the tax dollars.
But all of those things are not
revenues.
Illegal. None of that stuff is illegal. You can still eat romaine tomorrow if you want to take the chance. They're just recommending you don't.
I'm just
like
saying
they recommend you don't.
We should throw out all the cigarettes.
And Dory, like the tweet that's going around, like if you think that's fake news, go ahead and have romaine.
I don't think it's fake news. I think I'm being misunderstood here. I'm just saying it's odd to me that cigarettes remain legal in America. The only product.
So your focus is on the cigarettes.
The
not
only
the
product that, when used properly, kills the user. There is no other product in the marketplace.
Well, actually, some people would argue
no,
sugar.
Don't say guns. Oh,
no.
I thought you were going to say guns.
No, sugar.
Sugar, when used properly, is a delightful sweetener.
Until you get diabetes.
Oh, no, especially that coarse grain sugar that they put on top of the Costco cherry pie that they sprinkle on that crisscross crust.
I think when you smoke, you're doing it with eyes wide open. It's not a surprise that it could be very bad for your health.
You guys, let us remain calm here about the situation.
Good one.
I did order Chipotle today. We did
Is that necessary?
Lunch, and mine
Always.
Came without lettuce. My salad came without lettuce. I feel like they could find a different kind of salad.
Okay, that was a cop out because
it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, because there's other kind of lettuce that they could have given you.
Exactly.
Wait a second. You think? Wait a second. Because
they gave me a salad without lettuce.
How
do
you get a salad without lettuce?
Chicken and cheese with salsa on top.
They needed to give you a discount.
They should have. They didn't even warn me.
You know what else they did?
They should have said that.
They made Nicole pay in advance.
They did.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, Grubhub.
Oh, my goodness. That was awful. Okay. I was going to do some awesome.
I got to tell you one more thing about the lettuce. Just, okay.
Yes, we do.
In all reality with this lettuce thing.
I'm making time for one.
Right now, there's 32 people sick, 11 states affected.
Yes.
But you know how these outbreaks go, too.
Yeah,
in a week, it could be like hundreds.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing
it.
I'm not complaining about the lettuce throw out. I'm saying there are people laying in hospice wards right now because of cigarettes, and we continue to sell that product because politicians are as addicted to the tax dollars as the people are to the tar and nicotine.
And that rant was brought to you by...
Oh, yeah. Our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's Side is coming up next. Hey, down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before we head out of here into our Thanksgiving weekend, it is time for today's edition of...
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's Sign the world is soon coming to an end. What has happened to America's universities? That's the question that was asked by columnist Alex Parker. With the news that Rider University in New Jersey did a poll of students and asked them, which fast food chain would you like to come and have a home here at our university? And the students overwhelmingly said Chick-fil-A. They love Chick-fil-A. Who doesn't love Chick-fil-A? But it turns out the university has put the kibosh on that. According to Campus Reform, the school will not allow Chick-fil-A on campus because their corporate values have not sufficiently progressed enough to align with those of Ryder. So they said that they want to promote inclusion for all people. And Chick-fil-A doesn't reflect that or something. I don't know. But it's an interesting choice of words. Their corporate values have not sufficiently progressed enough. So what that means is they have not gone radically left. I mean, look at what passes for progress on university campuses. Yesterday, in today's sign, I told you the story about the university that canceled the production of the Vagina Monologues because it excluded women who don't possess vaginas, they said. We've talked about, you know, what else is progress in the minds of these leftist universities. Well, they celebrate the man who won the Women's World Track Cycling Championships, a man who towered over the female competitors in both height and body mass and muscle mass. But he identifies as a woman, so he got to compete as a woman and defeat women in the Women's Track Championships. And I told you the story last week about the guy who, again, identifies as a woman. So he went to a bunch of estheticians. I cannot say that word. People who do waxing. He went to a bunch of them and they said, oh, we're sorry. Down in the, you know, private part area, we only do Brazil wax for women. And so this person who has full-on male genitalia is suing the estheticians, still can't say it, because they refuse, because they said they are women only, and even though he has male genitalia, he says he identifies as a woman. So anyway, that's what is progress. And that's why Chick-fil-A is not allowed, because according to the university, they have not progressed enough in their corporate values to make the whack-a-job universities happy these days. It's just, it's crazy. Next up in today's sign, we're going to have a lot of Christmas music right after this weekend.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly...
Whoa, Frosty the what? That is offensive.
And two eyes made out of coal.
My goodness.
Frosty the Snowman.
A meteorologist for the Weather Channel tweeted out a photo of, well, a snowman in New Hampshire. But in his caption, Mike Seidel wrote this: first snow person of the season in Nashua, New Hampshire. Thanksgiving forecast to be the coldest on record.
He could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
So apparently, we're not allowed to say snowman anymore. Now it's the first snow person of the season.
Over the hills and snow.
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman.
I hope you feel suitably guilty if you sing this song at all anytime in the next month or so. All of that is today's sign. His hand should be its hand. We got to straighten out all these lyrics, for crying out loud. All that is today's sign. The end is near. And before I get out of here for this holiday weekend, Thanksgiving seems like a particularly good time for me to, first of all, wish you a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're surrounded by a ton of love. I heard this song a couple days ago, and I thought about you. I wasn't familiar with the song, but it's about how the person Rascal Flatts is gearing the song towards. Save the life of the singer because they understand them, they get them. Give them a reason to live. And I thought about you. I really did, honest to goodness. It's amazing to me. Wife and daughters and a son-in-law now. I have a lot of people who keep me sane most of my life. But man, from noon to three every day, it's you. I'm still kind of in awe that I continue to love this show more and more with each passing year. Instead of to get tired of it or get tired of, you know, batting things around with you on a daily basis. And the fact that this year, more of you are listening than ever before in the show's history, I can't tell you how much that means to me. That anybody could possibly care what I have to say about the stuff that's going on in our crazy region. In a crazy world every single day. And so, I will be saying this at the dinner table tomorrow. I really will. But I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you personally how thankful I am for you. And I really couldn't mean that more. I'm so thankful that you've given me a job I love so much and that you hang out with us every single afternoon. Because I can tell you all the time, nothing's more important than your time. And the fact we get to hang out together means so much to me. I mean, it means everything to me professionally. And so, thank you for listening every day. I wish you a very happy, blessed Thanksgiving. I hope you have a million reasons for gratitude in your life. And I thank you. I will see you Sunday morning, 7 a.m. for Seahawks football. Against the Carolina Panthers. And I'll see you back here Monday, high noon. Ta-da.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.